Okay, we're going to do a couple of things in a minute. We're going to, firstly, induct, we're going to bring Martha into the membership, publicly acknowledge her status as a member of Sidcup Baptist Church. And then secondly, we're going to induct her as our youth worker. But firstly, Martha, I want to ask one or two questions of you. Tell us where you've been the last few years.
So the last 2 years I've been at Woolwich Community Church, which is the church I grew up in. And the last year or so I've been a youth worker, working with some young people both in the church and on the estate, and also with XLP in Greenwich.
Tell some people won't know what XLP is.
XLP is an urban mission charity that work with kids who basically are put down as having no hope in the world. Kids from estates who are in gangs, kids in school who have problems staying in school, so we do mentoring, and we also do projects on the estates with the bus that they have, and also with some outreach of like just going and playing games and having fun with them and showing them that there's more to life than just gang violence and stuff like that.
Brilliant. Tell us what you've been doing over the summer.
So this summer I went to Soul Survivor with the lovely youth here at SBC, which was absolutely great. I had a really great time with them, getting to know them, and getting to see what it possibly could be like being a youth worker. And it was extra amazing because when I was away on mission when I was 18 and I got really sick, and I think the second or third night some of them and Teresa prayed for me, and for the first time in like 3 years I stopped being in pain, which was absolutely awesome. It was the best moment of my entire summer, so that was really cool. And I also took my old youth group to a camp as well for them, like to say goodbye to them, and did some like various days away and stuff like that just to kind of relax before I started here.
So, is it true you're a Christian?
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. I'm very pleased about that. Can you tell us a little bit of why you became a Christian?
So my wonderful parents over there, they all raised me in the church. We went to a church when I was little, an Anglican church near us, and we moved to a bigger church. And I kind of grew up knowing that God was real, like kind of, I just kind of assumed it, really. But I went through some quite hard times, went through some quite messy times with stuff at school and stuff with my friends. And when I was a teenager, about like the 14, 15 mark, I kind of was confronted at a youth church service, and basically was God really confronted me, just said, well, like, are you going to actually live your life for me, or are you just going to know that I'm real but carry on just sinning and carry on doing what I don't want you to do? And really like showed me how much he loved me and how much he was for me. And so I kind of turned to my friend and I was like, is this what God's like? And she was like, yeah, that's what God's like. So I was like, okay, I need to become a Christian. And she was like, aren't you already? And I was like, no, I don't think so. And so prayed the prayer with my youth worker, and yeah, really was kind of, then went on a whirlwind of realizing I wanted to go on to the mission field and wanted to work for Jesus full time. And yeah, it's been pretty amazing since then.
Brilliant. Martha, are you able just to share one or two things of your hopes and dreams?
Basically, my biggest hope for me as the youth worker here and for the youth of this church is that they just continue to grow with God, continue to grow, and that I can be used to disciple them and to teach them what it is to be a member of the church family, to be a member of this family, and to live and work for him in the world today, and how they can best be that light on a hill, that city, to shine to people, and how they can best bring people to know about him.
Okay, let's pray for you. Father, we just thank you so much for bringing Martha to us. So we realise that this is an incredible gift for us, Lord, not just for our youth, but for the whole church, Lord. But even more than that, for your kingdom and for the community nearby. We just thank you for Martha's heart, Lord. We thank you for those difficult times in her life that have helped shape her, and that resolve that you've planted in her heart to labour for you, to work for you, to know all the joys of it, but also to realise that she's in a battlefield. We ask that you would pour upon her the wisdom and the skills and all that she needs to be the youth worker here. At the same time, we pray for our young people, Lord. We pray that they will be truly open to all that Martha wants to share with them and work with them, and that as a team together, church, youth worker, young people, we will know your blessings and be able to bless other people. In the loving name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, firstly we're going to put up some slides about membership, and I promise you they're going to support you a lot. They really do. You'll hear the volume in a minute. Martha, do you declare your faith in the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
I do.
Hey, but see, they're anxious. They're with you already. Do you believe God has called you to serve Christ as part of this church?
I do.
Do you commit yourself to love the Lord within this church community and in the world, and with the Holy Spirit's help to fulfill your ministry in the body of Christ?
I do.
Okay, church. Do you welcome Martha into the family of God in this church?
We do.
See? I told you. They're very good. Do you promise to love, encourage, strengthen, guide, pray for, and care for Martha as equal partner in the body of Christ?
We do.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and on behalf of this fellowship, I welcome you into membership. Bless you. Right, we've got two now. Okay, so we're swiftly moving in now to the induction. Martha, will you carry out the ministry to which you have been called with enthusiasm and dedication, introducing young people to Jesus Christ and discipling them, working within the church and in the community?
Relying with God's help, I will.
Will you work in partnership with the other leaders and members of this church? Will you encourage and enable them to carry out Christ's mission in the local community and the world?
I will, with God's help and guidance.
Will you be faithful in prayer, in reading the scriptures and in study, that your faith may be deepened and that you may live out the truth of the gospel?
Relying on God's help, I will.
Now you stand alongside other members of staff, me, and our leadership team. So I'm going to invite other members of the leadership team to pledge their support to you. Deacons, will you accept Martha as leader and servant alongside you in her calling as youth development worker, honouring and supporting her work?
You will.
Young people, any young people, anyone? Not all the, certainly not all the youth are here this morning. So it's your chance to support Martha. Young people, will you share with Martha and be open to all that she offers? Well, that wasn't bad.
That wasn't bad.
We can work with that one. Have we come to the end? No, we haven't. No. Church, will you acknowledge and receive Martha as your youth development worker? Will you pray for her? Will you encourage and support her in the days ahead?
We will.
Will you play your part alongside her in forwarding the work of the kingdom of God?
Gladly we will.
With great joy, deep joy, I induct you as youth development worker. Bless you. Okay, I'm going to say a prayer now for our children, and then they're going to go out into their session. They will be back in time to hear Anne-Marie's testimony and the baptism later on. Father, we just thank you for all our young people, those who are here and those who are not. We just thank you that they're the very lifeblood of our church, not just the future, but the present also. And so we ask now that you bless them as they go into their own session help the leaders as together they have a great time hearing and sharing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And as the young people and the leaders go, we're going to sing another song, God, You Have Done Great Things. As we do that, we're going to take up our offering. Now, if you're a visitor, please let the offering bag pass you by. It's really an opportunity for our own folk to give to the work of God in this place and other places. We won't stop you giving, but please have no embarrassment whatsoever about letting the bag pass by. You might want to stand as we sing this.
Why would people want to get baptized? Well, firstly, it's because Jesus expected us to be baptized. It's there in the New Testament. And Jesus wants people to come into a loving relationship with him. He wants to pour his faith upon them, and he wants people to be baptized. And the proof of this was that Jesus himself was baptized. He went to the River Jordan, went to see John the Baptist, and asked John if he could be baptized. And so we're following in the footsteps of Jesus when we're baptized. And throughout the centuries, that the church has therefore brought into part of its worship this believer's baptism. The significance of it, of course, if we're doing what Jesus asks us to do, and we're doing what Jesus did, then that brings us even closer together with Jesus himself. Now, the water that's in the baptistry, it is good old Sidcup water. I promise you, even Roy went with the net earlier and got the bits out of it, so it's clear Sidcup water. But I promise you that there's nothing mystical or magical about the water itself. It's purely symbolism. And part of the important symbolism is that when we go under the water, we're asking to start all over again, asking to be washed clean. So that's the importance of the water. It's the semblance. We're going back. There's also that semblance that we're kind of dying to our natural nature and rising up saying, I've had enough of doing it my way, God. Would you please help me now? Rise up out that water afresh, and would you please pour your spirit upon me so that I can do it your way? That's all part of the symbolism. Anne-Marie's really looking forward to bringing her testimony. She's been excited for weeks. and that's part of it too, because people want to tell a little bit of their story. They can't obviously tell all the story. But it's important that we hear the story of faith, the journey of faith. And Anne-Marie will be sharing a little bit of that later. And for some, Anne-Marie is going to come into membership, as Martha did this morning. This natural link between being baptized and being a member of a local church. And when Anne-Marie's come out of the water, Sue, who's helping me baptize Anne-Marie, we'll be praying for Anne-Marie, and we'll be praying that the Holy Spirit will just come and overwhelm her during the service, but particularly as she goes through the waters of baptism. We'll be asking the Holy Spirit to touch her in a really special way. So if you're not used to believer's baptism, I hope that sort of fills you in a little bit. Okay, George, come and bring the reading.
Our Bible reading today is actually from one of the newer versions of the Bible called The Message, and it comes from Ephesians chapter 1. If you want to use the Bible that's in front of you, in the more traditional version, it's at page 1173. But you may like to just listen to this modern version. So Ephesians chapter 1, starting to read at verse 3. How blessed is God, and what a blessing he is. He's the Father of our Master, Jesus Christ, and takes us to the high places of blessing in him. Long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure he took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift-giving by the hand of his beloved Son. Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we are a free people, free of penalties and punishments chalked up by all our misdeeds. And not just barely free either, abundantly free. He thought of everything, provided for everything we could possibly need, letting us in on the plans he took such delight in making. He set it all out before us in Christ, a long-range plan in which everything would be brought together and summed up in him. Everything in the deepest heaven, everything on the planet Earth. May God bless that reading to us as David speaks about it later on.
Thanks, George. Just before we come to have a little look at that and some related themes, we're going to sing one more song. God, I look to you, I won't be overwhelmed. I had a bit of a restless night, and when I woke up, I found there was a lion and a witch in my wardrobe. I said, "What are you doing there?" They said, "That's none of your business." Oh. Blame Mike Pilavachi. It's one of his. I guess there have been times in your life where you've asked yourself, "What am I doing here?" I remember going to Blackpool on the roller coaster. I think it was called the Big One or the Pepsi Max or something. And I remember being at the very top, facing the drop, and I'm thinking, what am I doing here? I remember seeing a green mamba walk by me, seeing the mosquitoes come in, seeing the lake flies in their thousands without any invitation. What am I doing here? As I watched the movie Mr. Turner, which is 2.5 hours too long. Yes, you've guessed, it's 2.5 hours long. I'm thinking, what am I doing here? As I arrive at Bible college many years ago, I think, am I going to be like a bacon in a bar mitzvah? Bacon sandwich at a bar mitzvah. Maybe some of you today are thinking, what am I doing here? Maybe Martha's thinking, what am I doing here? Leaving behind scenic Woolwich. Or maybe Anne-Marie, you've just realised that we expect you for your testimony to last for 35 minutes. And you don't realise that if it doesn't go on for 35 minutes, whatever time is left, we keep you under the water for that period. What am I doing here? Maybe some of you are not too used to church and definitely thinking, what am I doing here? When's the chanting beginning, or the incense coming out, or the thumbscrews coming? What on earth am I doing here? Well, actually, it's a very big question. And it's not just the question, what am I doing here? But it's the question, what am I doing here? What's my purpose on the earth? Why am I actually here in the very first place on planet Earth? Mark Twain, who wrote Tom Sawyer, said once, the two most important days in life are the day you are born and the day you discover why. Why am I alive? Why am I here? Why am I on the earth? It's a question that's been asked forever. There was a prophet in the Old Testament, Jeremiah, who actually asked that question. He said, why was I born? Well, poor old Jeremiah had a real tough act, because he was told to tell the people that they were evil, doing all the wrong things, and God wasn't happy with them. And so he had a really tough call, really, as a prophet of God, to tell the people to get back on track with God. And poor old Jeremiah concluded, was it only to have trouble and sorrow to end my life in disgrace? Well, we might think that's a little bit cynical, certainly a bit miserable. We have to understand why Jeremiah was asking those kind of questions. But maybe it's not so unreal for you, because maybe some of you are in that place where everything's gone pear-shaped, things are going wrong, and relationships are breaking down, and you can't quite understand what's happening at work. And maybe you're thinking too, why? What's the purpose of it all? With deep sadness, I hear that suicide is still on the increase. If you take God away from the bigger picture, there actually isn't much of a bigger picture left. And I'm guessing that because people can't see the hand and the purpose of God, they think there's nothing left in life. I want people to know that there's a God who cares for them, and there's a God who wants the very best for them. What have you got if you take God out of the equation? Bertrand Russell, who was an atheist and a philosopher, he said, unless you assume the existence of God, the question of life's meaning and purpose is irrelevant. So here was an atheist, someone who didn't believe in God, was actually saying, but if there isn't a God, then what's the overarching purpose of life without a God? Some people have tried to fill that vacuum that should be God in a whole variety of ways. Some people have turned it into mystical things. The mystical approach says if you look within, you'll find your purpose. But why is it that so many people looking in can't see that purpose? Some people take a more philosophical approach. The survivalist, he says, the purpose of life is to stay alive. The naturalist says the purpose of life is to perpetuate itself. It's a kind of a biological process. The hedonist, right? The hedonist believes that the purpose of life is pleasure. So party all of the time, not some of the time. The materialist says life is made up about acquiring things. But even the most richest person still dies. You can turn in oodles of books, self-help books, that will tell you how to discover life's purpose by inventing or creating your purpose. Got to say, friends, I don't believe in that, because I believe in a God who has set out a purpose. What on earth am I doing here? What is God doing with us here? Is it for our own personal fulfillment? Is it for our own happiness? Is it for our own peace of mind? Yes, it's all of these things. But I believe that each and every one of us has a different purpose. But God has an individual purpose for each and every one of us. And until we understand that, we're never quite going to make... We're going to have great times. But we're never quite going to get to grips with the main purpose of why are we here. That's partly why I think Anne-Marie wants to be baptized. She wants to experience more of that spiritual life, to understand more about what her purpose is. She wants to make sense of the things that have happened to her, the things that are both good and the things that are not good. And she wants to make sense of those, and she wants to see what are the possibilities for the future. She wants to know more of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for her as well as for us. Part of that reading that George read for us says, long before he laid down the earth's foundations, he had us in his mind and settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. No, we are the focus of his love. God says he made you and he loves you. He didn't need you. He could have existed without, can exist without you. But he wants you. And he wants to love you. Even when you look in the mirror and you don't feel very lovable, that's the very time that God, if he could love you more, he would. He created you to love you. And not only that, he created you to love you because he wants to spend the whole of eternity with you. And that's a difficult bit, because we see the here and the now. We know what we like doing. We have great fun. But God actually has got the bigger picture. And he's saying, I want to be with you where you are now, but there's a bigger picture. And I want to love you right through into eternity. That reading also says it is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Part of the overall purpose he's working out in everything and everyone. The more we understand, the more we see just how great God is. And the more we understand how he wants to spend time with us now and time into eternity. I know it's an overworked euphemism, but life is a journey. Young people, I'm not looking at you, Hillary. Young people are on an incredibly challenging journey. They are so important to us. It's important that they, alongside Martha, walk together, that they might understand through her and in other ways all that Jesus could be in their lives. Our young people need to know what on earth they're here for. Martha, you must know that God has brought you here for a purpose. May the light of Jesus shine through you, and may you receive the love of this family here. Anne-Marie, today is a very special day for you, but it is just the beginning of something so much more meaningful and purposeful. For the rest of us, some of us will have a good idea of how far we are along the journey, but others perhaps have never really thought about the journey at all in the shape of God's purpose for us. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to pray now. That's a sign that I've finished. And I'm going to pray for all of us, but particularly I'm going to pray if you've heard a whisper from God this morning and you feel that you want to make a response to that whisper from God. And then in a short while, we're going to baptize Anne-Marie. And right at the end of the service, after Anne-Marie has been baptized, I'm going to give an invitation to any of you who want to be baptized, who haven't been baptized, who want to be baptized, who haven't brought a towel, who haven't brought any spare clothes, but nonetheless have felt God speaking to them. And that's just a simple opportunity out of love. If you have been challenged in some way, and you've not been baptized, and you want to go through the waters of baptism, you don't need to take a degree course to be baptized. You just need to want to be loved by God. And you need to have a faith in his saving purpose in your life. Let's first pray. Father, we thank you for your presence amongst us. Some, maybe all, I don't know, have this sense that you've been with us this morning, Lord. We've heard you speaking to us in the words of the songs in that Bible reading, thoughts that have been shared. Lord, maybe some of us are struggling to know what our real purpose in life is. Maybe some of us are a bit damaged at the minute, a bit bruised, a bit hurt. If that's the case, Lord, I just pray that by your Spirit you would just pour your love down. That if there's any essence of forgiveness needed, that they might be reassured that there's nothing that you can't forgive. And there's no one that's outside of your love and care. Father, for those of us who are on the journey of life, looking to you, I just pray that you would strengthen us, guide us, that we might get closer to where you want us to be. And for others, Lord, who have just felt your bidding, a prompting, your invitation maybe for the very first time, really heard it loud and clear. I pray, Lord, that they may have the courage and the confidence to share that with someone else. And if they feel that it's appropriate, they might do something about it, maybe even the waters of baptism. And if you have that sense of God knocking on your door, then I just invite you to pray this prayer after me. Lord God, I thank you that I am loved by you. Thank you that there's nothing that you want but the very, very best for me. Sorry if there are things in the past where I've ignored you, let you down, hurt other people. Please forgive me. Please may I receive something from you that is of the spirit of love, of resurrection, of spiritual power in my life, that I might go further on that journey with you, that I might understand more of my purpose, that I might commit to you. We pray these prayers in the loving name of Jesus. Amen. If you've really felt the Spirit moving, then the prayer ministry team will be available somewhere. I haven't got a clue where. Probably over there as we go outside onto the grass. But there are opportunities within this service. Please talk to someone you trust, talk to me. And if you feel it's appropriate, we'll provide the clothing and the towels. But don't hesitate. Just step out in faith. There's no greater journey than the journey of faith. Anne-Marie's chosen our next song as we get ready to share in her joy and our joy. As we sing together, God forgave my sin in Jesus' name.
So God was always a part of my life as a child. I was brought up listening to Bible stories and saying Our Father at night. But as I grew up, I forgot about God, really. I was swept along chasing dreams, chasing wants and desires, as we all do. And I stopped making time for God, and I forgot all about him, really. What I realised is that all along, I was building a house on sand. And when hard times came along, as they often do, bereavements, breakups, I found myself alone and quite tormented. And I couldn't get relief from anything. It was only in beginning to pray again that I began to find comfort and relief for myself. And one evening, I was walking along on a Sunday, and my mind led me to come to the Baptist church. I'd never been before. It was just one Sunday evening last autumn. And I walked in, and I believe George actually was giving a sermon that evening. And I listened to him, and he was speaking about Jesus in your boat. And, I just listened. And suddenly after a while, I was overwhelmed with a feeling of peace in my mind. And I felt a sense of peace, and I felt a sense of purpose, that I was here in the presence of God. And I've been attending ever since then. I can't bear to miss a Sunday now. And I've been praying ever since. And I find myself filled with hope and happiness again about the future. And that's basically been the start of my journey. And I can feel hope and happiness once more about the future for me. And really, I just thank God now for his presence in my life. Sorry it took so long for me to find him again. And that's my testimony for today.
Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In obedience to Jesus and in joyful thanks for God's redeeming love, we gather to baptize those whom the Spirit has led to repentance and faith. Here is the grace of God. Washed free of sin, disciples of Jesus are immersed into all that God has done in Christ, and in all that he promises to do through his Spirit. Let's say a prayer. Almighty God, we give you thanks for your Son Jesus, who was baptized in the River Jordan. Send your Holy Spirit, we pray, that this baptism may be for Anne-Marie a union with Christ in his death and resurrection, so that as Christ was raised from death through the glory of the Father, she also might be raised to newness of life. Pour out your Spirit and anoint her for service, that she may grow into the likeness of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Friends, now is an opportunity to bring your words of greetings or a Bible verse, whatever.
These are the words that God spoke to Joshua, but I think he would say them to you today. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. For your Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.
Anne-Marie, mine comes from Ephesians 4. I therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, urge you to walk worthy of the calling you have received, with humility and gentleness, with patience accepting one another, diligently keeping the unity of the Spirit and the peace that binds us. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to. One hope that you're calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. Bless you, Anne-Marie.
Anne-Marie, you spent many hours with us when walking friends on foot, with many walks, and we've had the pleasure to get to know you. May your walk with Jesus be even closer. May you know your continuing journey with him. And a word from you from Psalms. His word is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path.
Anne-Marie, during your speech there, you mentioned about a house, and you felt it was on sand, but God would say to you, I had a picture, which is of a house, and in the sense, it was a closed up house, but I sense that today, in the sense, God, the Holy Spirit is going to be opening the windows, and the Holy Spirit is going to be blowing through your life, through all that, so in the sense you've built your life on, it's going to be a newness to your life from here on in, because God is recognising your obedience, and simply God would say, your house hasn't been built on sand, your house is now built on God.
To reiterate the words that George has already said, to
tell you to be strong and to be bold, because God is always with you, for he will never leave you. So be strong in him. Bless you.
And in the words of the prophet Malachi, God said, I love you. God says, let your light shine. He lets me shine.
Mine is from Isaiah that says, your name is written on his hands.
And the baptismal verse that I've chosen, Anne-Marie, is from the first letter of John, chapter 3, verse 24. As we keep his commands, we live deeply and surely in him, and he lives in us. And this is how we experience his deep and abiding presence in us, by the Spirit he gave us. I'm now going to turn to the baptismal promises. Anne-Marie, do you believe in one God known to us as Father, Son and Holy Spirit?
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour?
I do.
Do you turn from sin, renounce evil, and will you serve Jesus Christ in the world?
I do. Christ is my way, truth and life.
Will you live within the fellowship of the church, and will you serve Jesus Christ in the world?
With the Spirit's help, I will.
Anne-Marie, we have heard your repentance and faith, and gladly now we baptise you in the name of the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit. And would like to be baptised. And now's the opportunity. We're going to sing through the rest of the song, Happy Day. What a great day it is. Hope it's one of the greatest days in history, certainly for Anne-Marie, and we will all remember it too. But could be, again, your special day, a day when you just be obedient to Jesus and come through the waters of baptism. Simple invitation, just come down, come forward as we continue through the song. You're back, yeah. We were waiting for Anne-Marie to come back to enjoy the moment too. So many of you have not met Pamela, but I'm sure there must be a word or two of greeting for Pamela.
Talks about all of heaven's angels are rejoicing and are around you this morning. Just be assured that that is a true word from God himself for you.
Some verses from Corinthians for you, Pamela. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was in the world, reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting our sins against him. Praise his name.
This is a slight adaptation of John 3:16. God so loved Anne-Marie and Pamela that he gave his own one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life.
Amen. Hallelujah.
just want to echo those words for you, Pam, that God will shed his light on your path. He will be a lamp to your feet. And wherever he takes you, he will be with you. He will be your light. Trust on him.
The words in my head at the moment, Pam, are just rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And I just, it's not happiness, but it's rejoicing. It's God's joy for me.
The word I have that I feel the Lord is saying to say to you is that Jesus loves you very much.
From Psalm 16, God says, the psalmist writes, "You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever." That's a promise from God.
Jesus says to your partner that he's come to give you life in all its fullness.
Father, the Christmas story is in Luke chapter 1, towards the end, I think it's verse 26 or something, and it's called the Song of Mary, and it says, "You are beautiful inside."
And a baptismal verse for you is also from the first letter of John, chapter 4 and verse 10. This is what real love is. It is not our love for God. It is God's love for us. He sent his son to die in our place to take away our sins. So, Pamela, we're going to ask you the same, make the same promises as Sis. Pamela, do you believe in one God known to us as Father, Son and Holy Spirit?
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour?
I do.
Do you turn from sin, renounce evil and will you serve Jesus Christ in the world?
I do. Christ is my way, truth and life.
Will you live within the fellowship of the church and will you serve Jesus Christ in the world?
With the Spirit's help I will.
Pamela, we've heard of your repentance and faith, and now we gladly baptise you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.